Amen. I imagine one day in heaven I'll sound like that, but not right now. Praise God. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful song this morning. Boy, it is a great privilege and honor to be here this morning. I'm guessing Brandon and Jeremy have been sending Pastor some stories about me because he decided to put a shot clock up here, how long I can preach. There's a big clock up here. And he's told me two or three times, I don't think I preached that long, but he's very precise. So I'm going to get with a lot of the pleasantries out of the way very quickly. And then I was going to talk a little bit longer tonight with some pleasantries, but then they talked about donuts afterwards, so I can't talk long tonight either. But with the time we have today, if you would open your Bible to Colossians chapter 3, let me say it is a great privilege and honor to be here. I thank Pastor for inviting me. My family wished they could be here. We had a little situation with a passport, we're unable to, we couldn't bring everybody, but they will be here this summer. We look forward to stopping by and visiting at least once or twice. Thank you so much for being such an integral part of our lives, not just in our ministry, but really from the beginning. I remember as a single man being here during family month and being very engaged, very excited to hear God's word, hoping one day God would allow me to be a father and a husband. And I don't come today as an authority. So many of you who are here present have been great examples in my own life, in the life for Holly and I, as mentors with your own marriages, especially my own parents here today. But I do want to share God's word today, encourage you, because this is the remedy, this is the recipe for a godly home. And this morning, I'd like to read four verses, and if you are physically able, and Ken, would you stand to your feet? We're in Colossians chapter 3, verses 18, 19, 20, and 21. Familiar verses, but this morning I hope they are an encouragement as we reflect on having a firm foundation. Verse 18 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, in this day and age, Lord, the family is under attack, and we know the true answer lies in your word. Lord, draw to our mind this morning the wonderful truths that we find. Help us to reflect and meditate on what it takes to have a firm foundation, to have a family that honors you and a family that is blessed. Lord, I pray that as husbands, we would take our job seriously, that wives would take theirs, and children, we all would fill our roles to have peace and harmony and contentment in a home today. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord, touch our hearts and allow us to dream big dreams about our family and allow us to seek after the things that are important. Allow us to have a firm foundation this morning. This is, we ask this in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for your attention. In 2010, as we drew close to completing our first year in the Dominican Republic, I was sitting at my desk when I began to feel something shake in our home. I noticed, and at that time it was just Holly, me, and Ashley. Holly was actually pregnant with Zach, and he would be born about a week later. But I noticed that the house started to sway back and forth. And I yelled to Holly, "Holly, let's get out of the house. Feels like we have an earthquake going on right now." And I had experienced different earthquakes when we lived in Costa Rica and probably in the Dominican. But this was the largest and the longest that I'd ever experienced. And we went outside with our neighbors and waited till the quake was over. I think it lasted about a minute, maybe 2 minutes long. When you're in the middle one, it seems like a long time. But this one was very long and the biggest one I've been through. But praise the Lord, there wasn't any damage done to our home. So we went into our home, and we're very thankful that our house had not been damaged. And I really didn't think much else about that earthquake until later on that evening when I looked on the news and I saw that that earthquake had laid waste to a good portion of the other side of the island in Haiti. And thousands of people died. Tens of thousands were injured or displaced. And it wasn't until then and the next year that I realized how fortunate we were to have a home that was properly built on a strong foundation. Many were not so fortunate and lost everything, including their lives. You know, one of the best things we can provide for our children is not their education, although that is of high importance, and it's not earthly possessions, which our consumer-driven culture tends to focus on, but rather a home built on the foundation of God's word. That's the most important thing we can give to our family. And this morning, with the brief time we have, I want to challenge your hearts as we look to the scriptures to see how we can build a home that has a firm foundation, that we can resist even the strongest earthquakes that the world can send our way. If you don't remember anything this morning, remember this, that Christ needs to be the foundation and the center of every family. We're going to see as we have that foundation, as we build a strong structure in our family unit that requires everyone doing their job. The guys just got back from Togo. I enjoyed seeing their video and seeing them build with the block. It reminded me so much of the times they've been to help us. And when you're building a foundation with concrete and walls, and you start building the roof and you're completing that project, it's so important that you have strong columns. Columns that can withstand the pressures from without. In our brief time this morning, we're going to look at four columns in a family that can help enable us to have a strong, not only foundation, but a strong structure. Every family needs these four columns. Every family needs this if we're going to have a family that receives God's blessing, that is a family that honors God, that a family that has peace and contentment. I remember one of the ministries I have is with Baseball Chapel. I get to go during the winter leagues and give Bible studies to the baseball players, American and Dominicans. And I remember talking to one young man who was a Christian. And he was telling me the first time he got to the major leagues. And he anticipated that day being very special. And he thought when he got there, he was going to meet these guys who had, I mean, multi-million dollar contracts. And he thought they would be the happiest people that he had ever met. You know what? They weren't. They had achieved all their dreams, and yet they were empty inside because they were lacking the true peace and the true contentment that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. This morning, I want us to see that when we want to follow God's plan, that's the key if we're going to have a home that receives his blessing and glorifies him. Notice the first column in a strong family is found in verse 18 there. It says that wives are to submit to their husbands. Now, I know this is not popular in culture. I should even tell them to stop recording this because nowadays, that's not something popular, unfortunately, not only from without the church to talk about wives submitting, but even sometimes within the church. But it's important to understand that submission is just not about submission of the wife. And we'll see this a little later on, that submission is to be to each other. And we're not talking about a submission to a tyrant, to a dictator. The word used here for submission in the Greek is hypotasi, or something to that effect. I don't speak Greek that well. But that's the same word that is used in Romans when Paul is talking to the Romans. And he says, let every soul be subject unto higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. Submission by the wife to her husband is not supposed to be a submission to a tyrant or a dictator, as I mentioned, but rather to one who is committed to protect her and to love her, who has her best interests in mind. In the Dominican Republic, between the years of around 1930 to the very early part of the 1960s, the Dominicans had a dictator named Rafael Trujillo. He was a tyrant. He was a dictator who required submission to his laws. And many, many, many thousands of people died for a lack of submission. This is not the word we're talking about in our families. If you would keep your place in Colossians chapter 3, but flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. We also have a parallel passage that Paul is speaking to two different churches, but with the same principles in mind. And he goes into a little bit more detail here in Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse 20, I want you to see something. It says, giving thanks always for all things unto God, and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 21. Notice how he first starts talking about submission, who he's talking about. He says, submitting yourselves, what does the next phrase say? One to another in the fear of God. We're to submit to each other first. But in the order of God, he has an order. He has a plan. He has a perfect will. And he goes on in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, nowhere in Scripture do we see that the wife or the woman is insuperior, not superior to the man. Nowhere in God's words does it show that the man is of greater value to God, but rather it's his order. It is the order of God. It's a perfect order. And there is great peace, and there's great blessing and great contentment to the home where the woman submits to the husband. But let me hit the pause button. Now we need to talk to the guys. Guys, let you understand, this is a great pressure. This is a great responsibility. I was thinking about this every time I see my wife diligently reading God's word, praying, humbling herself to follow my lead. That brings on a great pressure and responsibility. Am I right? Because she is following God and says, I will let this knucklehead lead us. I better be in God's word more than she is. I better be on my knees more than she is. She has, as those who know Holly, she's a very intelligent young lady. Up until about 2005, when she made a big crucial mistake, she married me. But other than that, but to see her diligently follow the Lord and see her submit to what I believe we need to do as a family, I understand that requires that I am diligently in God's word, knowing what his will is for me and for our family. Wives, trust God, trust his word, that he loves you and he's given you a pattern, and that this pattern will bring you peace to know that God has given you the correct man to lead. Now, husbands, to lead a family in the direction of the Lord requires that you know God and you know his word. And that doesn't happen quickly. And that doesn't happen in a one-time situation. That requires a daily walk in his word and submitting to his will every single day. Now, that's the first column that is necessary to have a home full of peace. Notice the second column. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. All right, husbands, our turn. We are commanded by God to love our wives. We are to show them tender love and affection. We're to treat them as the gift that God has given us to help us. We are to treasure them as a special jewel or a special prize that's been bestowed upon us by God. Why do you think that God told us that we need to love our wives? Well, it seems to be apparent because that doesn't come easy to us. In fact, if you notice, if you're in Ephesians 5 as well, if you can keep your hand in both Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5, Ephesians 5, notice what it says in verse 25. Husbands, what does it say? Next phrase. Love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It's interesting. Paul is writing another letter to another group of guys, and what does he tell them? Love your wives. Makes me feel like guys need to be told things more than once. I know that's how it is in my life. Paul says, I got to tell this church. The husbands need to love their wives. Paul again tells this church, love your wives. It must have been something they needed to hear because they weren't properly doing it. And notice he gives the best illustration of love. He says, you need to love, and let me show you what love truly is. And he gives the greatest illustration of love when he says, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What amazing love. You know, it's interesting. I don't know a man who, if you asked him, wouldn't be willing to die for his own wife and his own children. I think it's innate. If you love your family, you're willing to sacrifice your life for them. But you know, Paul goes on. He says, it's not just this one-time offer you're willing to lay down your life physically. Notice he continues, and we're in Ephesians 5, verse 28. He says, so ought men to love their wives, explaining how, as they love how? Their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. No one in the world knows how to take care of me better than me. No one knows what I like better than me. I love cold Dr. Pepper. I love a nice juicy steak. I like spending a day at the beach with my family. I love all those things. I know what I like. You know what Paul's saying here? that same energy and love and commitment you have to take care of yourself, turn that towards your wife. Use that towards your wife. The way you like to be treated, treat her that way. That's true love. That's true love and commitment to your wife. And notice, he gives a command, but then he kind of goes to a negative right. He says, and be not bitter against them. We're back in Colossians 3, verse 19. And be not bitter against them. Paul's saying a lot here in just a few words. Bitterness can be the greatest obstacle to peace and joy in our home. It's a great obstacle. Can wives get bitter? Sure. But you know what? He's not talking to wives right now. He's talking to men. He says, men, don't be bitter at your wives. Bitterness can arise in a marriage when there are misunderstandings, unmet expectations. Expectations aren't properly dealt with. And bitterness is usually a slow accumulating process. Misunderstanding stacked upon misunderstanding. Until the weight of our patience cannot hold it anymore. You know, there's so many things I'm thankful for in the time we were here at Temple under the preaching of Pastor. But one of the things that I think probably the most practical things we learned under the preaching and teaching for our marriage was a phrase that Pastor said many times, and I'm sure he probably still does, is the idea of keeping short accounts. Keeping short accounts. So what he's saying is that when there's a misunderstanding, when there's a problem, don't let it continue to rise and accumulate it. When there's friction, take care of that friction. I can honestly say that Holly and I don't have a perfect marriage, but every time that we can, when we think there's something between us, we try to, as quickly as possible, take care of it. We don't try to let it linger. I'll be honest, some nights that has required staying up very late to talk about things. But if you want to have a sweet marriage, a peaceful home, you will keep those short accounts and not let bitterness get a hold and root up in your family. In our marriage, it's very difficult sometimes to, as busy as we are in our lives, I know in Northern Virginia how busy life can be, sometimes it's hard to make those misunderstandings a priority. But it's those misunderstandings that can cause the slow dissension that can eventually break up a home. Keep short accounts. Husbands, you must take the lead in cleaning out those accounts and getting rid of all those debts. Love your wife. Do not have bitterness against them. Love them in the way that you would like to be loved. Easy enough, right? Easy enough. I think it's here a couple times in Scripture because it's not easy. It's something that requires hard and diligent effort. But as one preacher once said, and I love to think about this, and I try to explain this to future men who are future wanting to get married. You know, a good marriage is like a little slice of heaven. But a bad marriage is like another place. We want to have that little slice of heaven in our home. And that comes when men, we love our wives, and we're not bitter towards them. It's a team. The first column, wives submitting to the husbands. Second column, men, you must love your wives. But notice, there's a third column, children. Oh, the teens thought they were going to get out of this one. Nope, children. Notice verse 20, Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in how many things? Pastor knows. How many things in teens? All things. We'll just say that again. How many things? All things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now we come to the young people. One of the most important reasons, young people, you should desire to obey your parents are the promises that the Lord gives us here. Keep your place in Colossians 3. Go to the parallel passage in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Notice this, for this is right. This is just. This is what we should do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Boy, if you didn't have any other good reason to do it, just do it for that reason. To have long life, to be well with you. But there's so many other good reasons to follow your parents and obey them. It should fill your heart with contentment, young people. You are in a place today, your parents have brought you, that most of the world would never bring their kids. And they've done it because they love you. They want you to hear God's plan for your life. They want to help you avoid the pitfalls of life. They want you to be able to experience the joy and peace, contentment that maybe some of them didn't even get to experience as young people. It's a true love that your parents have for you to place you in a place like this morning. Now, I know you can't believe this, but we do remember what it's like to be teenagers and young people. In fact, some of our memories are so faded that that's the only thing we remember. We remember like 25, 30, 40 years ago. We don't remember what happened last week or we had for lunch yesterday. But we remember those feelings, those anxieties that you have as young people. And yes, I know that the challenges you face today are very, very difficult. The sinful temptations that you will experience in your lifetime are more in kind and complexity than we couldn't have even imagined even 10 years ago. But you know what? Your parents want you to know that the tool against all temptations is right here, God's word. They've placed you in this place that you can hear his word and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your parents want the best for you. They want you to learn how to handle God's word and how to let it change your life in this ever-changing culture. So many things that were wrong 10, 15, 20 years ago are now right. And if you stand up against it in our culture, people will say you're hateful. You're not tolerant. You're not loving. We want to have Christ's love. And that starts with children who obey their parents. For those of you who know, Holly and I gave a little bit of brief testimony downstairs in pastor's class, but Holly and I had a period of time where we had to, and when we were dating, we had to stop dating because her parents didn't have a peace about our relationship. And let me tell you, that was a very difficult time, but we trusted in the Lord that he loved each and every one of us the same, and that he would, through our parents, bless us. And we waited, and though it was not easy. And when the time was right, and the Lord worked really a miracle out by giving Holly a pacemaker of all things, and her father saying that I truly loved her but was willing to wait for his blessing, he softened his heart and allowed us to get married. And I'm thankful that we obeyed our parents, because to this day, I couldn't take time and long enough to tell you how God has blessed our marriage, our family, our ministry, and even my relationship with my in-laws. They are my second mom and dad. And I'm very thankful that we obeyed our parents. Don't ever be afraid to obey your parents. The Lord will bless you for that. It's not easy obeying your parents sometimes. I understand that. But trust God's word that it'll be a blessing in your heart. The last column, and as we're winding up right now, parents, build up your children. Don't tear them down. Colossians 3, verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. The Bible speaks how we can treasure this opportunity to train up our children to serve the Lord. Next week, our oldest daughter, Ashley, will turn 12 years old. I don't even want to think about how quickly she's going to be out of the house, because I'm still trying to decide if I'm ever going to let her leave the house. But I know that time is coming quickly. It's not guaranteed that we get them for long periods of time. We have a brief time. But what we do with that time can determine much of their life. It can help determine their spiritual destiny if they love the Lord and they follow his word. But discouragement sometimes can come in when we don't take the proper amounts of time to be with them. We've got to be careful the time we spend on our hobbies and our pastimes than the time we spend with our own family. I know you've heard it said before that children don't spell the word love, L-O-V-E, but rather T-I-M-E. That's what true love is to your children. It's when you spend time focusing on them and the attention they need for their needs and their lives. I think about our family. Our sweetest times are usually around the dinner table when we've finished up and we have one of those little Alexa bots, and we like at the end of the dinner to play a game. There's many games you can play that are fun. We play Jeopardy or Would You Rather. And I'm sure if you were to ask my kids what are their favorite times of the year, they're not necessarily the vacations we take or the Christmas presents they get, but rather the time we spend together as a family. That's the most important thing, parents, is taking time to invest into your kids and let them know how important they are. And let me say this too. Don't ever assume the salvation of your children just because they go to church, they're enrolled in the Christian school. Talk to them about their salvation decision. Talk to them about their spiritual lives. Oh, not to cause doubts, but to rather, as Paul says, examine your heart. So they can talk about how wonderful it is to be saved and to love God. There is no more important time you can spend with your children than talk about their salvation. I'm so thankful that the oldest three children of ours have made professions of faith. But I remember how that conviction comes upon them. And there have been times of even doubt. It's the most important thing in our lives. It's certainly going to be the most important thing in their lives. We must make it a large priority to talk to them about salvation. And also, as we finish up, avoid ways you can discourage them. Don't compare them with other kids, especially with their own brothers and sisters. Don't ever expect something out of your children that you yourself aren't doing. Don't discipline your children, obviously, in anger. And stay away from words like, you always, or you never. These are things that we know, we understand. But sometimes, I know we fall into ruts and bad patterns. I pray that tonight, or to this morning, this will be an encouragement to you to think about that foundation in your own family. And how is it based upon God's word? Are we fulfilling the roles that God has given us individuals as parents, as husbands, as wives, as children? Psalms 127:3, very familiar verse. Lo, children are heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. We know a few weeks ago, a very famous basketball player, and from all reports we can read, in 1 minute was flying, and the next was in eternity. Everything he had in this world, he left behind. But there was one thing he went into eternity with, his daughter. That's the only thing we can bring to heaven with us, is our family. No matter how much money we make, we're leaving it all behind. But the one thing we can influence for the life to come are the souls of our children. And I pray that that would become a much bigger priority in our lives than maybe even our portfolios or career success. But taking time to see how the foundation's looking, to see how the columns are looking in our families. We know by just looking at the news that is not common nowadays to have families that are loving God, that are full of his peace and contentment. And maybe you're even here today and you're hearing this list and you're saying, Brother Eric, that sounds great. I don't know how I can do that. I don't know how I'm really going to submit to my husband. I really don't know how I'm going to love my wife in that way. Pastor Eric, you don't know my parents. It's hard to obey them. I understand that. But you know what? The Apostle Paul dealt with that before he even talked about those verses. If you're in Colossians 3, just look back a few verses, and he gives us the remedy, how we can accomplish this wonderful task. In verse 12, Colossians 3:12, Paul says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any man, any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, or put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. That's how you do it. It does seem impossible, because we are sinful creatures. But we're also, those who have trusted in Christ, are transformed creatures. And we follow Christ's pattern. He will give us the strength to submit to our husbands when it's not easy. He will give us the strength as husbands to love our wives even if they don't feel unlovable at the time. He will give us strength to obey our parents when that doesn't make sense. He will give us strength as parents to love our children and direct them even when they don't seem lovable. It comes through a holy walk following his word. The only way to build a family with a firm foundation is with the love of God. It's not easy, but boy, is it worth it. I am so thankful that following God's word can bring peace and joy to a home. I pray that he will do that for each and every one of the homes represented this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every family that is represented today. I pray through your Holy Spirit and through your word, you would encourage us, Lord, in your word, understanding that the pattern is there. We just need to humbly submit ourselves to that pattern and follow you. And you've already promised to bless our homes and bless our families. I pray that we would follow your word this morning.